time of interaction between Simon Peter and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what it says in the Lord's Word. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die, but Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that you are our God. And tonight, dear Lord, we've come to praise and worship you. We thank you that you care for us, dear Lord, that you have chosen us. You have picked us out, dear Lord, of the crowd to say, "Come to me, and I will bless you." As we hope tonight, dear Lord, our prayer, our praise, our worship to you has been a blessing. You've breathed us in and said, "Thank you, my people. You have blessed me." As we know, dear Lord, you always bless us. Tonight, dear Lord, we ask that you would speak to our hearts and souls and minds, that you would challenge us, that you would encourage us, that you would reveal to us, dear Lord, words that perhaps we've never really understood or grasped before. Dear Lord, we are before you. We ask, give us this day our daily bread. Come, send your power and your spirit right now. And dear Lord, if there's anyone here who has difficulty with your word, who is struggling, I ask, dear Lord, that they would open their hearts and their souls, and that, dear Lord, you would speak to them directly. We ask all these things in Christ Jesus' name, and God's people said. Well, thank you for inviting me today. It's always a pleasure and wonder to come to this church. I hope you all enjoy your time next week. And I certainly hope that I won't wash the car next week. So I hope that the weather is wonderful for you. So I'm in trouble with the wife as it is today. Okay, let's turn to the Lord's word. I wonder what it is that you love. Us men, as you know, especially you ladies, probably know we have difficulty with the word love. Saying it, expressing it. We get quite embarrassed about it. We forget, however, that love has power. Love has purpose. And our God is a God of love. And very rarely does our God say to us, especially us men, that his love is not always gentle, but sometimes it has great purpose and power. It's not always nice. Sometimes we have to be shaken by it. And us men need to recognize that. It's not something that's soppy. It is something which has great purpose in this universe. So I wonder what it is that you love. Now, I wonder what your definition of love is. And whom is it that you love? Peter was asked by Jesus, and I don't know if you what your particular version of the Bible, I was reading from the NIV. Jesus said to Peter, "Do you truly love me?" twice. And then, "Do you love me once?" The words used by Jesus twice, and if you looked in the Greek, is agape. I'm sure you, perhaps many of you know what agape means. That means a self-sacrificial love. But in the end, Jesus was forced to use the word that Peter responded with, and that's philia, which means friendship. I wonder what your response is to the one who's died for you. Are you in love with him, or is God just a friend of yours? Do you despise him, or are you an intimate of his? In this existence that we live in this world, we love so many things, don't we? Because in the English language, we only have one word, and that's just love. And we love so many things. We love our church, don't we? We love our possessions, we love our homes, our jobs, our clothes, the food that we eat, the TV that we watch. Many worship and love the sport that they follow, the books that we read, the music that we eat, the place in which we live. And that's all generally bound up with the word love. And because of that, really, the true meaning of this word love, which God uses in this universe, has become devalued. It's so easy to throw away. It gets so mixed up with all the other things that its importance is forgotten. And that we should love our God. Christ says to you, agape me. Agape me. I wonder if you do love him with the same love that he has for you, and what is your response to him here this evening? What is your response? Is Christ the first of your love, or is he just in the list somewhere? As we know in the world, he's not really even on the bottom of their list. They have no comprehension of who Christ is and what he has done for them. Do you agape him? Is your response the same to him? Or does he have to vie for Coronation Street or some other soap? Perhaps an enjoyable lunch. Perhaps he's just a friend of yours and you take him off the shelf every Sunday and you perhaps then give him the opportunity for him to talk to you. But do you truly love him before all things? Peter began as a disciple of Christ, 3.5 years before this particular interaction between Jesus and Peter took place. Now, Peter, if you think about it, had seen the miracles. He'd received all the teaching. He had experienced Jesus' wisdom and his response to the leaders of the time. He had seen people raised from the dead, thousands of people fed from a few fish and loaves. He had seen Jesus Christ crucified and then seen him raised from the dead. Yet even though he had experienced all these things, what was his response to Jesus? He said, "Yes, Lord, I'm a friend of yours." It took something to come into his life to change him. And we know what that thing that was. And it, rather than being an inanimate object or just a power, it was God's Holy Spirit, him who comes inside of us and changes us. At Pentecost, Peter was then able to agape God. For you see, it takes God to love God. It took God to fill Peter, so Peter would truly become the follower and the disciple that he needed to be. Tonight, dear Lord, have you had, tonight, loved one of God, have you had the Lord bring Pentecost to your life? Has your life been so changed, so endued with power and grace that you are able to respond to Christ, not Lord, you're a friend of mine, not Lord, yes, you're part of my family, but Lord, I give a self-sacrificial love, that you are above all things, no matter what happens in my life, that if I have the choice of being going to see a tennis match and you, I will be with you, that if I was going to go through to a wonderful lunch with somebody I haven't seen for a long time, I will be with you. One of the wonderful things about our God, because he's so sacrificial in our life, he encourages us to do these things. Because if people can see this in your life, then they want to be gathered around you and say, what is it about you? What is it that's in your life that you respond to me in a particular way? They see Christ inside of you, and that self-sacrificial love which is inside of you, they're attracted to. And they know deep inside that they need to respond somehow, that they want what you have. What is your response? What is your response to him? Is it just philia? He's a friend of yours. Is Jesus just a friend? Then don't worry, you're in good company. But if Jesus asks you directly the question, do you truly love me? What is your response? You see, his response to you was so great, so wide, so deep, so high. It cost him everything. Yet to our shame, the way we treat Christ, that we make perhaps the sacrifice that he made for us as of nothing, nothing of worth, nothing of anything, because we fail to love the one who loves us. We do not fear the possibility of not gaining it. We do not fear us losing it. Not that Christ will lose loving you, but rather us closing the door against it. We fail to appreciate the love and the cost of it. You see, God agaped us. God's love was and is self-sacrificial to such an extent that Chris Parker Jones, Terry Jones, Dessia, Maria, John, Roger, or your brothers and sisters, that annoying neighbor that you have living next door that play their music too loud, could, if given the opportunity, allow the Spirit to come into their life, make a response to God, that they could agape God because of what God has done for them. He sacrificed who and what he was, so you do not have to, so that you can get back to him. Yet how much do we really care about that? Do we feel that? Tonight, you men, do you feel that? Do you have that in your heart like a burning power that you prowl the streets? I know I've said this to you before, that you prowl the streets looking for souls and telling them, come to this place, this church, on a Sunday evening, and come and hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. Come and learn about someone who sacrificed themselves so that you might gain eternity. Do you go and prowl the streets? Do you prowl your neighborhoods to tell people about that? Do you have that burning inside of you? How do you think the disciples did what they did? It's because they allowed themselves to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and they were not ashamed of the Lord. Rather, they said, look what the Lord has done for me. And they reached out to those people because they knew that burning desire inside of them was being fulfilled by the power of God and the sacrifice of God. Do you have inside of you that you have that caring? Do you feel that you can be bothered? Do you comprehend what Christ has done for you? It may be that you can't even filia Christ. Some of us are frightened. Some of us turn against love because what has been done to us in love, in the name of love, if we could only just comprehend what Christ has done for us, we would run to him. We would grab people by the scruff of the neck and drag them along to say, come and hear about a God who loves you. Do we just pretend to love God? And then when people look at our lives, the people that we live with, and they look at us, And they say, how can you profess to love God when you hate and mistreat me? Children, God's children who are gathered here, God loves you. God is rooting for you. God is desiring to bless you. God wishes to change your life and empower you. God wishes to make you successful. We struggle to believe that a God could care for us that much because we know ourselves the way we do. We fail, however, to understand God's love, even though God defines it in his word for us. There's more in God's word about his love, and even this interaction of Jesus and Peter is expanded. In 1 Corinthians 13, it says this, and again, this is a well-known passage to us, love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. This is God's agape love for us. You know, we can substitute that word, love, and put God in its place because we have been told, and it is in God's word, that God is love. It then says something different to us, that God is patient with us. He is kind. He doesn't have any envy. He doesn't boast. He's not proud. He's not rude. He's not self-seeking. He is not easily angered. He keeps no record. He does not delight in evil. He always protects and trusts and hopes and perseveres. He never fails us. You see, God doesn't keep the record of the wrongs that you do. Rather, he erases them and forgets them. The trouble is we remember them, don't we? And the wrongs that we delight in, we keep rather than saying, Lord, take them from me and free me from them. God always protects you if you would just trust him. God will provide you with hope, and he'll never fail you. But a God like that, surely he deserves our love. You see, this is the one who loves us. Has he caught your heart? Why do we find it so difficult to understand and breathe in our God, to grow towards him, to allow our lives to be fulfilled by him? You see, our God loves us. Our God agapes us. If you could just catch a little bit of this, how much more our lives could grow. The issue perhaps is that we don't believe it because we do not believe that how could anyone really love us to that extent? That happened thousands of years ago. It's not relevant really into our lives. You may say, well, how could God love me? I'm addicted to giving pain to other people. I'm in love with sex. I'm a voyeur. I inflict cruelty. I have anger in my heart. I hate others. I hate God and despise those who profess who love him, because didn't God take away that thing that was so precious to me? I was so mistreated by those who were supposed to love me. I was so mistreated by those who were supposedly Christians and in God's church. This shows the impression that we can make. Perhaps today's different, I'm not sure. And I don't think I've told you this story. When my mum was little, she was living up in Pontypool. Her father was a miner, and he got killed in the mines. It happened, it was a dangerous job. Her mother had a self-pension, so she could have existed without the need of a man. But she was pressurized by her family that, no, you must be married. And that because of that pressure, she married somebody she shouldn't have done. He was a drunkard and an abuser. Soon after, he got married to my mother's mother, My mother's mother died. So my mother, in essence, was an orphan. She stayed with this man because the pension moved from my mother's mother to her. And he wanted it for drink. He wanted it just to do what he wanted to do. And her life went on. And she always, this picture always stays with me. Always stays with me. She says, one Christmas, because of course she was unkempt, she smelt, she only had what she described as her brownie dress. She had daps with cardboard in the bottom. One Christmas, when it was cold and there was snow on the ground, of course the church didn't really want her because she was smelly. She said she went to see them having a party, and she was looking in through the window, and she saw the children having fun and having presents and having food, and she was kept outside. Where is our love? Where is our love? My mother, as she grew older, never discouraged us from going to church and never encouraged us. But she didn't have a very high opinion of Christians. This world needs to understand who and what we are in Christ. And if we had the love of Christ, then we wouldn't permit those things to happen in our existence. We would see the crimes for what they are, for our God loves everyone, and everyone needs to be treated in the same way. We must be very careful not to inflict that level of cruelty. As you say, you may think that you are being mistreated, but allow God to love you. Allow God to seep into your life and change your life. I say, you may think, or may know, that you've been so mistreated by those around you that you hate yourself because of, rather than the love that you received, the hate that you received. You may say, well, I hate God because he allowed it. And I don't know why I'm in that situation. You could say, nobody cares. Nobody's really bothered. But you see, our God is. Our God sacrifices all for you upon the cross. He allowed himself to be sacrificed so that you could be forgiven. Because most people who are abused, unfortunately, blame themselves. What did they do wrong when, in essence, they have done nothing wrong? God came to free you from that guilt, to say, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. Take my hand. Walk with me. Because I desire to agape you so that my love can come into your life, so that you might be free. And that as that agape love comes into your life, then you can love your neighbor and all those around you, no matter who and what they are, no matter what their situation or what their problems are. God wishes to do this for you so that you can do this for others. You may think that perhaps you're so despicable, so unworthy. You see, God doesn't care about that in the least. He sent his son to make you worthy, to transform you. So rather than his wrath descend upon you, it has already descended upon his son who died upon the cross so that you as an individual might be free and know that you have salvation for all eternity. So that you know that you have gained heaven, that you know the blessings of God in your life. Loved ones of God, if you haven't received that blessing or recognize it this evening and grasp hold of it. Perhaps you've grown stale and the message is old to you. Make it anew in your life so that Christ can be in your life and transform who and what you are and make you something shining and new. For you see, you are royalty. You have been forgiven. You're no longer trapped and chained. You've been released. And you have Christ in your life. All those addictions, the abuse, the pain, the self-loathing and hatred and the pity and the anger and the feelings of self-loathing and self-isolation, the walls that you've built up around yourself, which you thought were impossible to take down, God's love will just melt them and they will flow away from you. And God will make your heart anew. When Christ died, all the wrong that was done was erased. All that's in your life can be made good and wholesome if you accept him. You can be made whole again. You can have purpose. You can become a child of God and take the position that Christ has made for you. And as God's people, this is just the beginning. This is just the start. This is the opening blessing. This is the initial transaction. Be prepared to have your hearts opened and the love of God and the way of God and the way that he has prepared for you come into your life so that you can say, yes, Jesus. Jesus, I truly love you because you first truly loved me. I understand that you first loved me and now I love you and I am starting my life afresh and new in your power and your grace, for I desire my life to be transformed so I can transform the life of others, so that my love would evolve and the love of Christ would be all around me. So I know that I have a Savior. And that I am truly loved. So that when God sees me as he first created me, he looked and said, yes, that's really good indeed. I wonder what your response to Christ is now. Is it, do you love me? Yes, Lord. I agape you. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I pray for all those who are gathered here this evening. That, dear Lord, perhaps they feel frustrated. They don't have your power. They don't have your grace in your life. And perhaps they feel distant from your love. Dear Lord, let them know tonight that you desire them. That you sent your son as a sacrifice so that they can be reconciled back to you. And nothing would withstand your love from their lives. That they would run to you and say, Lord, Lord, thank you for what you have done. I take inspiration from that, dear Lord, and shout hallelujah and hosanna to your name. For the King of Kings and Lord of Lords loves me. Loves me. And I'm no longer lonely. I'm no longer desolate. And I can forgive myself and those around me. And dear Lord, as you love me, I can love them. And have tears in my eyes for those who are lost, just as I was. And now, dear Lord, I can grasp hold of you. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for who and what you are in my life and what you have done. Spend a few moments of quiet with the Lord so that he can bless your life and that you might pour out who and what you are to him.